الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد In our last class we discussed Iman. We discussed what does Iman mean. Many times people say Iman, Iman, Iman without really understanding what does Iman mean. So the Imam explained to us, rahimahullah, al-Imam al-Muzani in his book Shafs al-Sunnah. He said, وَالْإِيمَانُ قَوْلٌ وَعَمَلٌ. That Iman is قَوْلٌ وَعَمَلٌ. قَوْل, speech, وَعَمَلٌ, action. And he explained what the قَوْل means. That the قَوْل means الْقَوْلُ بِالْقَلْبِ وَالْلِسَانِ وَعَمَلٌ. He explained what the عَمَل means. الْعَمَلُ بِالْقَلْبِ واللسان والجوارح. And then he said, رحمه الله, مع اعتقاده بالجنان قول وعمل. Iman is speech and action. مع اعتقاده بالجنان. So he gave a breakdown that speech and action includes conceiving it بالجنان inside the heart. He said, قَوْلٌ بِالْلِسَانِ, that قول is with the speech. وَعَمَلٌ بِالْجَوَارِحِ, an action with the limbs. وَالْأَرْكَانِ, and the parts of the body. He says, وَهُمَا قِيَّانِ وَنِظَامَانِ وَقَرِينَانِ. That Iman is involving both قول and عمل. He said they are qiyan, they are two equivalent things. One is our man, they are fundamentally significant. Waqarinan, they go hand in hand. It says, la imana illa bi'amalin. There is no iman except that it involves action. Somebody cannot say he has Iman and he does not perform Salah. Somebody cannot say he has Iman, no action, just has Iman in his heart. It is not possible. That Iman is not accepted. Iman with the heart alone. And we explained that that was the kind of thing that Fir'aun had. Fir'aun knew that Musa alayhi salam was the messenger of Allah. Likewise, Abu Salih, the Prophet's uncle alayhi salam, he knew, he accepted in his heart, but he never pronounced it with his tongue, neither did he ever ask with his limbs. So the Iman is not accepted. And we explained that what is common amongst the Yoruba, that Okeni, Babueni is false. Igbagbo, Iman does not end in the heart. Iman must be pronounced with the tongue. And Iman must be acted upon. Iman must be pronounced with the tongue. For example, somebody has in his heart Iman, Billah, that he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his actions, he goes to Ashun to bow down to Ashun. So his actions contradict what his heart conceives. So Iman must not be in contradiction. Like Munafiqun, they will come and perform salawat to the Prophet Muhammad. But in their heart, they don't believe. So what is in the heart must conform with what the actions perform. Somebody will be an Imam in a masjid, and in the midnight is in Ogoni, is in court, is in all of these. These actions contradict Iman. Because Iman is a thing of the heart, is a thing of the tongue, and is a thing that must be acted upon. It's very, very important. These three must follow themselves. So, this was what the Imam explained. In the second paragraph, he said, Rahimahullah, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ فِي الْإِيمَانِ يَتَفَاضَلُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ فِي الْإِيمَانِ يَتَفَاضَلُونَ وَبِصَالِحِ الْأَعْمَالِ هُمْ مُتَزَايِدُونَ وَلَا يَخْرُجُونَ بِالذُّنُوبِ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَلَا يُكَفَّرُونَ بِرُكُوبِ كَبِيرَةٍ وَلَا عِصْيَانٍ وَلَا نُوجِبُ لِمُحْسِنِهِمُ الْجِنَانِ بَعْدَ مَنْ أَوْجَبَ لَهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَلَا نَشْهَدُ عَلَى مُسِيئِهِمْ بِالنَّارِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ فِي الْإِيمَانِ يَتَفَاضَلُونَ وَبِصَالِحِ الْأَعْمَالِ هُمْ مُتَزَايِدُونَ وَلَا يَخْرُجُونَ بِالذُّنُوبِ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَلَا يُكَفَّرُونَ بِرُكُوبِ كَبِيرَةٍ وَلَا عِصْيَانٍ وَلَا نُوجِبُ لِمُحْسِنِهِمُ الْجِنَانِ بعد من أوجب له النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ولا نشهد على مسيئهم بالنار. الإمام المزني سيد رحمه الله والمؤمنون في الإيمان يتفاضلون. The مؤمنون, those who have إيمان, and we have explained what إيمان is. Don't forget, Ikhwan, that we are not talking about Arkanul Iman, the pillars of Iman, which is Allah, Al-Rusul, Al-Kutub, Al-Qadr, Al-Yawm Al-Akhir, and what? Wa-Mala Al-Malaika. This is not what we are talking about. If somebody says, I believe in Allah, Allah is the main article of Iman, what you believe in. What we are talking about is that belief. Al-Imanu Billah. There are three words there, or three things. Al-Imanu Ba'un Harful Jari Billahi Allahul Majroor. Three things. Al-Imanu Billah. Iman in Allah. Faith in Allah. So we have faith, we have in, we have Allah. We are not talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are talking about what is the meaning of Iman. What is the meaning of Iman? I give you a simple example. The Sufiya, they believe that it is from the aspect of Iman to be very unkept and dead. They think that when you are unkept, when the individual is unkept and dirty, it signifies Iman. They say it's wali. We have examples. There is somebody around us here whose pictures go around. People see him, have see the pictures. He can have this subha, what Yoruba calls tasbih. He can have 40 on his neck. He can wear like 5 big robe, you call abada, on his neck, and he'll be very dirty, and he'll be walking on the street shouting, very dirty as he is. People say, ah, don't talk because he may be a wali. Laugh. Al-Iman contradicts all of these. Iman is conception with the heart, speech with the tongue, and acting upon it with the limbs. So, from the implications of acting upon Iman with the limb is to be clean. Because إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَكْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. So, to be clean, to be neat, in another hadith he said عليه الصلاة والسلام, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. So it means from the aspect of Iman is to look well, look clean, look neat. Not necessarily judicious, but clean. Being clean is from the aspect of Iman. So nobody should be dirty and telling us that dirtiness is Iman and Iman is dirtiness. No, it is not our religion, Islam. Likewise, When you encourage somebody to keep his beard, maybe to wear jilbab, veil, have this, they say, no, don't tell us this. This is not the important thing. This will make us understand that from the aspect of iman is action. So when a woman veils, it is from the aspect of what? Iman. When a man keeps the beard, it is from the aspect of what? Iman. When a man ties turban, it is from the aspect of iman. When a man wears shimag or khimar, it is from the aspect of iman. The entirety of the action of a Muslim is from the aspect of iman. So the Imam said, rahimahullah, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ فِي الْإِيمَانِ يَتَفَاضَلُونَ. The mu'minun, all the mu'minun, anbiya, rusul, khulafa, a'imma, everybody amongst the Muslims, يَتَفَاضَلُونَ فِي الْإِيمَانِ. They have different grades of iman. As we are all seated here, each of us has different grades of iman. Some higher than the other. One higher than the other. One higher than the other. All of us. فالمؤمنون في الإيمان يتفاضلون. The believers in their iman, they have grades. Allah told us that in the Quran. He said, سبحانه وتعالى. ثم أورثنا الكتاب الذين اصطفينا من عبادنا فمنهم ظالم لنفسه ومنهم مقتصد ومنهم سابق بالخيرات بإذن الله. الله says أورثنا الكتاب الذين اصطفينا من عبادنا. We made those whom we chose amongst our slaves. We made them to inherit al-kitab, the book, al-Quran. We gave whom we chose amongst our slaves, we gave them the Quran. Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he said this is not restricted to those who memorize the Quran. Al-lazina awrasna humul kitab, those that Allah gave this book to the Quran, is the entire ummah. Allah gave the entire ummah of Islam, Allah gave them the Quran. He said, فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. There are some amongst them that they commit sins regularly. They are the ones you see working in banks, a riba-based bank. They are the ones you see drink alcohol. They are the ones you see tell lies. They are the ones you see commit zina. Muslims! Our Muslims don't do all of these that we talk about. So they are ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ ظَالِمُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ. They are those who wrong their souls. So Allah says, فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. Amongst the ummah of Islam are those who wrong their souls. وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ. There are those who are not regularly in sin, but مُقْتَصِدُونَ. They fast, they pray, they perform salah, they go for hajj, they make umrah, they give sadaqah, they make nawafil, qiyamun layl, they make azkar. Yet they still have shortcomings. They still fall into sin, so they are muqtasidun. This is second group. It says, وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِكُمْ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ. And there are amongst these people in the ummah of Islam, سَابِكُونَ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ. They are forefront in terms of good deeds. But that is not possible by their own power. It is the iznillah, by the permission of Allah. The point of reference for us, ikhwa, is the fact that not all the Muslims have the same level of iman. Allah says some people are what? Zalimun lina. Some people are what? Mukutafidu. Some people are what? Sabikuna bil khairat bi iznillah. Even amongst those zalimun li nafsi, zalimun li anfusihim, there are also categories. Amongst the muqtasidun, there are categories. Amongst sabikuna bil khairat bi iznillah, there are also categories. This is the category of sabikuna bil khairat. This is the category of the khulafa'ur rashidun, the companions of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Sabikuna bil khairat. And even amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, they still had categories. There are those amongst them who are the Khulafa, the four of them. They are the best of them. Amongst these four best, there is still the best of them. And that is Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Uthman. He is the best human being after the Anbiya and the Rusul. After the Anbiya and the Rusul, the best human being that Allah created was who? Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. So amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, the best of them was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. And then Omar, radiallahu anhu. And Omar himself, we say to Abu Bakr, I know that you are more than me. One day, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, he is among those, if not the best reciter of the Quran. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he says, خُذُوا الْقُرْآنَ مِنْ أَرْبَعَةٍ. Take, learn the Quran from four people. The fourth person he mentioned was who? مِنْ إِبْنِ أُمِّ عَبْدٍ. From Ibn Ummi Abd, and that is who? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من صره أن يقرأ القرآن غضا كما أنزله الله. Anyone who likes to read the Quran غضا, in another riwayat طريا, that is fresh, keen, meat, as Allah revealed it, فليقرأ بقراءة ابن أم عبد. Let him read the way Ibn Mas'ud is reading Quran. If you want to read the Quran the way Allah revealed it, exactly, read as Ibn Mas'ud is reading the Quran. The Prophet said this, alayhi salatu wasalam, and Abu Bakr and Siddiq and Umar were present. So they left. Each of them did not know where the other one was going, but they were going to look for Ibn Mas'ud. You see the companions of the Messenger, alayhi salam. If we were the one, we say, ah, me Abu Abu Bakr, I did here. You know, he didn't say I'm the one. Hasad will start. But Allah freed their own hearts from guilt, from hasad. So, before Umar radiallahu anhu got to Ibn Mas'ud, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu got to him and told him what the Messenger had said, alayhi salatu wasalam. On that spot, Umar said, radiallahu anhu, I know that you will do it before me. I know before I come, you will come. This is evidence, because it is good deed to give your brother glad tidings from the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. So quickly, he wants to be the one that broke the good news to him. Before Umar came, radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr ibn Siddiq had come. So Umar said, radiallahu anhu, I know you will come before me. I know before I come, you will come. So even amongst the companions, there are grades, there are levels. The best of them was Abu Bakr ibn Siddiq. There are many such incidences Umar will say, radiallahu anhu, to Abu Bakr, that I know you will come before me. Many incidences. Another one was during the Qissa of Hudaybiyah. But that will take our time. Let's not go to that. The point of reference is, even the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were upon different levels of iman. They were upon different levels of iman. So the Imam said, rahimahullah, wal mu'minuna fil iman yatafadalun. Then he said, wa bi salihil a'mali hum mutazayidun. With in terms of good deeds, hum mutazayidun, they surpass one another. In iman, they pass one another. In terms of the deeds of iman also, they do what? They are more than one another. There are amongst the companions those who fast every other day. They will fast on Monday, leave Tuesday, they will fast on Wednesday, leave Thursday, they fast on, like that, every other day. Amongst them was Abdullah ibn Umar, Abu Abdurrahman, radiallahu anhumah. Amongst them was Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. These people would fast every other day. And there were some of them too who held away from the pleasures of this dunya. People like Abu Zarr al-Ghifari, Jundub ibn Junada, or Jundab ibn Junada. They were engaged in the issues of worship. That's what concerns them. Ibadah, Salat, Sawm, Nawafil, Sadaqat. So هم في الأعمال متزايدون. In terms of good deeds, they are also different levels. So it is the different levels in good deeds that brings about the different levels of Iman. Because Iman rises with good deeds and it falls with evil deeds. The more good deeds you perform, the more your Iman will rise. You will feel it in your heart. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, Ibn al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, they asked him, how does a servant know that Allah has accepted his Hajj? He says he will feel sakina in his heart. His heart will feel sakina. So sakina, so alhamdulillah, in his heart. Some people after Hajj, you see them, they are worried. See worry on their face. Ask them how they perform the Hajj. Because Al-Hajj al-Mabrur Laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-Jannah. The Messenger said alayhi salatu wasalam that a well-performed Hajj, the least reward the person will get from it is al-Jannah. And he said alayhi salatu wasalam that whoever performs Hajj correctly, من حج فلم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع كيوم ولدته أمه. Whoever performed Hajj, لم يرفث, he did not make cohabitation with his family during the Hajj when they are in the state of Ihram, ولم يفسق, and he did not perform a sin, he did not commit sin, he did not go into argument, he did not fight people. So when Nigerians go and fight during Ihram, or when the pilgrims brought people start saying God will punish you and all that during Ihram, they are already contradicting this condition. It says Lam Yarfu, no conjugal relations with his family during Ihram. Walam Yafsuk, and then he did not commit Fusuk. In Yoruba they say Iwakuki, Lam Yafsuk. If he did not do these two things, Raja Akayomi Waladatu Ummuhu. He's going to come back home as if the day his mother gave birth to him. Because Allah would have removed his sins from him. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he reported from the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam that Hajj removes from the human being sins and poverty. Poverty, Hajj takes it away. When you perform Hajj, Allah enriches you. And he removes your sins. There are a lot of fadail. So when you perform the Hajj correctly, Hajj Mabrur, the meaning of Hajj Mabrur is a well performed Hajj. Your heart will feel secure. Likewise, Salah. If you perform the Salah correctly, Ikhwa, correct Salah is the Salah of the Prophet Muhammad. Alayhi salatu wa salam. When you pray as the Prophet prayed, alayhi salatu wa salam. After the salah, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. You will feel sakina in your heart. It will touch, your iman will rise. Likewise, when you listen to the Quran, it says, innama al-mu'minun, iza dhukir Allah, wajilat kulubuhum, wa iza تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. The mu'minun, when Allah is mentioned, their heart trembles. When the Quran, they hear it being read, زادتهم إيمانا, their iman will increase. So when you listen to the Quran, your iman rises. But that is the listening that we pay attention to. Many times people play the Quran. People are in places where the Quran is read. وَهُمْ أَنْهَا غَافِلُونَ يعني أَنِ الْكِرَاءَةِ غَافِلُونَ. They pay no attention to that Quran that is read. They don't pay attention. They are busy with some other things. So when you, these are good deeds that increase iman. Likewise, al-wudu. Wudu that is well performed increases the iman of the Muslim. You perform wudu, you say bismillah. You wash your hands, your mouth, the nostrils, you wash the face, your arms to the elbows, including the elbows, you rub your head, to and fro, and then your ears, and wash your feet. When you say, Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, or wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, Allah opens the gates of Al-Jannah for you. Choose the one from where you get into Jannah. In another hadith, when you say, Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik, Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, it is written with silver and prepared for you till the day of Qiyamah. It is written with silver and hadith is authentic. So good deeds increase iman. Likewise, sins reduce the iman. When a person commits zina, his iman drops. When he lies, his iman drops. When he cheats people, his iman will drop. He will feel it. One of the reasons why he will feel it is, or she will feel it is, when you raise up your hand for dua, if Allah still gives you the chance to remember to make dua. Because it is one of the evils of sin. When a person commits sins, he does not remember to make dua. After his salah, he will be scared. He will feel some sense of aversion from Allah. He will feel further away from Allah. When he wants to make the dua, inside his heart he will be ashamed. I just did so and so. I just said so and so. I just did so and so. He will feel that shame inside his heart. And Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya rahimahullah, he mentioned over 40 ways an individual feels sin. The impact of sin, how we feel sin when we sin. And from the aspect of that is that iman drops. From that also is looking at things that Allah has prohibited. It's one of the common things now in our community. People are almost even thinking that it's not a sin. Casting glances at things that Allah has prohibited. It is almost counted as normal now. May Allah prohibit us that. From the aspects of that, on the computer, on the internet, as you open, you see things you are not pleased with. So we almost think now that let's play along with it. And these things affect our heart. They affect our iman. They drop the iman. The point of reference in all of these is that what the Imam said, that وَبِصَالِحِ الْأَعْمَالِ هُمْ مُتَزَايِدُونَ, with good deeds هُمْ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ مُتَزَايِدُونَ, they differ. They have different categories. Some have better and more good deeds than some others, and some others have less good deeds than others. That verse we refer to in, I think, Surah Al-Saba or Fatir, is also evidence that, yes, they have different levels of iman, and at the same time, their good deeds are different. We have, because we have Zalimun Linafsi, we have Muqtasid, we have what? Sabiqun Lil Khairat, Bi-Iznillah. So these show that good deeds, the more good deeds you perform, the more iman you have. The less good deeds you perform, the less iman you have. The good deeds we are talking about are the deeds of sunnah. Deeds that are established, not deeds that are innovated. Innovations further take the person away from Islam and away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innovations reduce the iman of the individual. They don't increase the individual in iman. So ask for deeds of sunnah. When you want to perform a good deed, ask, please, this good deed, is it sunnah? If it is sunnah, if you do it, your iman will rise. If it is not sunnah, when you do it, your iman will come down. May Allah protect us from that. So 2 points, he said, rahimahullah, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ فِي الْإِيمَانِ يَتَفَاضَلُونَ. The believers, in terms of their iman, they have different levels. وَبِصَالِحِ الْأَعْمَالِ هُمْ مُتَزَايِدُونَ. And regarding good deeds, هُمْ مُتَزَايِدُونَ. They have more than themselves. Some believers have more good deeds than some others. وَلَا يَخْرُجُونَ بِالذُّنُوبِ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. But because a Muslim commits a sin, لَا يَخْرُجُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. It does not mean that he becomes a kafir by that, who goes out of Islam. A Muslim tells a lie now. He's telling a lie. It's not an act of kufr that takes him out of Islam. A Muslim commits zina now. It is not an action that takes him out of Islam. A Muslim cheats another person. Or a Muslim is fighting another Muslim. One Muslim fights another Muslim. Subhanallah. One Muslim fights the other Muslim. So two Muslims, they take their blows and begin to fight themselves. This is from the things that brings down the iman of a person. But the question is, does it make them become non-Muslims? We say no. So when you ask how and why, what is the evidence? We say Allah says in the Quran, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا. It says when, if in طَائِفَتَانِ, if two groups of Muslims اقْتَتَلُوا كِتَابٍ, when two groups of Muslims fight, it says فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. All of you, فَأَصْلِحُوا, this wow is wow الْجَمَاعَ. All of you should make sure that you reconcile between them. So Allah says, فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى. If after reconciliation, بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا, one of the two groups in feud, بَغَتْ transgressive عَلَى إِحْدَاهُمَا, on the other. One group transgressed against the other. After reconciliation, فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي حَتَّى تَفِيءَ إِلَىٰ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي, قِتَال again. To fight that one, all of you should fight the one that has transgressed. حَتَّى تَفِيءَ إِلَىٰ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ, until he returns to Allah's command. What is Allah's command? وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ. Reconcile. Reconciliation, until he returns to reconciliation. If he now returns, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدْلِ وَأَقْسِطُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Reconcile between them with justice and fairness, because Allah loves those who are fair. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Thereafter it says the Muslims are brothers. Despite the fact that they fought and quarreled. But fighting is a sin. In fact, in the hadith say, وَكِتَالُهُ كُفُرْ. Fighting the Muslim is kufur. Kufur here means a major sin. It is not the kufur that takes the individual out of Islam. It says سِبَابُ الْمُسْلِمْ فُسُوك. To abuse a Muslim is fisk. Abusing a Muslim. You idiot, you stupid, you as people say. In fact, in hadith in Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he brought a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when two Muslims cuss and abuse themselves, the person who started it will take the sins of the two of them. Al-Mustaban, two Muslims abusing and cursing themselves, the one who started it will carry the sins of the two of them. So this is an act of fisk. Sibab al-Muslim. But he said, وَكِتَالُهُ كُفُرْ. Fighting him is kufr, disbelief. But the disbelief intended here, as shown in that verse of the Quran, indicates that it's a major sin. It does not mean that by his fighting his Muslim brother, he too has become a kafir that has gone out of Islam. So Muslims do not go out of Islam because of sin. That the person commits a sin does not mean that he has become a kafir that has gone out of Islam. For your information, this is the reason why those who kill Muslims today kill them, because they think that they have committed sins that took them out of Islam. When you see a Muslim killing a Muslim, he has believed that because they committed a sin, they have gone out of Islam. So they are halal dam. That is why they are doing what they are doing. And those who had this belief in the history of Islam, they are referred to as what? Al-Khawarij. They are the ones who have the belief that any sin a Muslim commits, by committing that sin, he has gone out of Islam. But that belief is a very wrong belief. And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, apart from having read the verse of the Quran and some ahadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah was reported in the book Tabaqat al-Hanabila to have said that لا نكفر أحدا من أهل التوحيد وإن عمل الكبائر لا نكفر أحدا من أهل التوحيد. We will not declare any person from the people of Tawheed. لا نكفره. We will not declare any person as a kafir from amongst the people of Tawheed, even if they commit a major sin. Even if that person commits a major sin, it does not mean that he is a kafir. This is very important. Yes, we say those who walk in riba-based banks are committing sins. Because Allah has prohibited riba, we are not saying that they are kuffar. Yes, we say those who commit zina are committing sins. Allah hates them, it's kabair. But we are not saying that they are what? Kuffar. We are saying that those who tell lies, they are committing sins. Allah hates sins. Sins will make their imans to go down and all of this. But we are not saying that they are what? Kuffar. This is what Al-Imam al-Muzani said before Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah, when he said, وَلَا يَخُرُجُونَ بِالذُّنُوبِ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. Sins do not expel, or the Muslims do not go out of Iman because of sins. وَلَا يُكَفَّرُونَ. And nobody should declare them as non-Muslims. بِرُكُوبِ كَبِيرَةٍ وَلَا عِسْيَانٍ. Just because the Muslim has committed a major sin or any other type of sin. Don't say because one Muslim committed a sin, brother, you are shaving your beard, you are a kafir, la. La. Brother, you are dragging your isbal, it's a sin, la. Because some people will say, Allah says, nah. Maybe we should address that. It says, ma asfala min al-izari min al-ka'bain fi an-nar. What goes below the ankle from the lower clothes, either the trouser or anything, if it goes below the ankle, the Messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that it is in the fire. So people say, oh, it means that person will be in the fire forever. How can the Prophet say, alayhi salatu wasalam, regarding a thing that it is fire, and you are saying that that person is not a kafir? It is a different thing to say something is or will be punished with the fire. It is a different thing to say that person will be in the fire forever. It is a different thing to say a person will be punished, a Muslim will be punished for a sin inside the fire, Jahannam, Jahim, on the day of Qiyamah, Sa'ir, and with all its names. It's a different thing that a person enters the fire, and it is a different thing that he remains in the fire forever. If a Muslim commits a sin that deserves being punished in the fire, and Allah does not forgive him, because if a Muslim commits a sin, even though he does not repent before he dies, Allah can decide to forgive him. I'm sure we are aware of that. Allah said subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. It is talking about the day of Qiyamah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah will not permit, will not forgive shirk, that a person joins partners with Allah. We've explained different forms of shirk. Bowing down to somebody, bowing down to, yes, somebody, if you do that by way of ta'zim and tabdil, it is ibadah. Ta'zim, veneration. If you bow to somebody by way of venerating that person, it is ibadah, it is shirk. But if a person bows down thinking that, well, that is a way of showing that I'm greeting and respecting the person, it is not shirk, that takes a person out of Islam. But if a shirk can ask God, it is a minor shirk. Why is it minor shirk? Because it can easily lead to major shirk. So it is minor shirk if the intention is mere greeting. It is major shirk if the intention is glorification and adoration. Most of what the Sufiya do, because it is from the aspect of their worship, that they bow down to their shuyukh, most of the times they do it by way of venerating those shuyukh. If a person does that, he is committing shirk. Because وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. All the places where we make ibadah for Allah, they are for Allah alone. It is not allowed. Allah says, don't do it for any other person except me. So there are different aspects of shirk. There is also shirk ta'ah. Allah commands a thing, another person commands another thing, and you obey that person and leave Allah's injunction. It is from the aspect of shirk. If a person does that because of weak faith, it is not shirk. But if a person does that by way of venerating and adoring that person, it is major shirk and it takes him out of Islam. May Allah protect us. So if a person commits shirk until he dies, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah will not forgive such person. But he says, وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. Whatever is less than shirk, whatever is not kufur that takes a person out of Islam. If a person dies committing it, but dies as a Muslim, even when he was committing sins, wallahi, وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah forgives if he likes, he will forgive. If Allah likes, he will forgive. Somebody was rich enough to go for Hajj, he refused to go till he died, deliberately. If Allah likes, he will forgive. Because it is a sin to have the means to go for Hajj and refuse to go. It is a sin to have the ability to pay zakah and refuse to pay zakah. So if Allah likes, he forgives. If Allah likes, he will punish the person. But the question is, what will Allah do? Do you know? Do you know whether Allah will forgive you? Do you know whether he will hold you responsible? And if he holds you responsible, you cannot come back to replace it again. So why not do the good deeds and not expect that Allah can forgive if he likes? What if he chooses not to forgive? You will not be able to come back. May Allah protect us. So Allah says, وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. If the person does not commit shirk, but he dies upon a sin, if Allah likes, he will forgive him. If Allah likes, he holds him responsible. So this is the essence of what the Imam said, rahimahullah. La yukaffarun. Don't declare a Muslim as a non-Muslim. Just because the ruku bi kabiratin, that person committed a major sin. Wala istiyan. Or the person committed any other kind of sin. Don't say that person has committed kufur and has gone out of Islam. It is very, very important. These days, easily people say kafir, kafir, kafir. It's very common. Especially in parts of Yoruba land here. We have somebody who is used to doing that a lot. When he preaches, everything a person does, he says they are kafir, this is kafir, this is kafir, this is kafir. Allah did not raise the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam so that the people can go to Jahannam. No. It is a mercy. Saying, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. I have just been raised as a mercy to mankind. So show mercy to people. Even if a person is behaving like that, You can educate him so that he knows what he's doing. But by the time you grade him and pass him aside, most unfortunately, wrongly grading him, then you are not helping the person. You are worsening the person's case. And the Prophet had told us, alayhi salatu wa salam, لا تكونوا أعوانا للشيطان على أخيكم. Don't be helpers of the shaitan against your brother. Brother, you are the one who does this one. Oh, your own has finished. Allah will never forgive you. So the person says, hey, Allah will not forgive you. As was in the case of a man amongst Banu Israel who had killed 99 people. A man killed 99 people. So he went to a rahib, a worshipper, who had gone away from the people making nawafil. Allahu Akbar, tell me Allah al-Mahida. Without knowledge. So that one came to him and said, Mr. Worshipper, I have killed, or he has killed 99 people. Can Allah forgive me? He was asking. Said 99, فَأَنَّا لَكَ مِنْ تَوْبَةٍ. Where will you find forgiveness? So no forgiveness, okay, we killed him to make 100. And Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he said, it means one of the consequences of ignorance is that the ignorant may be killed by his own ignorance. What led to his life being taken is what? Ignorance. Although he was worshipping, it means a worshipper worshipping ignorantly, there is no benefit in him. Is an ignorant person. You are worshipping with ignorance, in ignorance. La. No worship is found with ignorance. You have to know what you are doing about. You have to know about it. So this one was making nawafil, he was fasting, he was alone. Nobody was with him making ibadah. And he doesn't know that if a person kills 1,000 persons and is willing to seek forgiveness, Allah can forgive him. So, after the man killed him, making 100, he went to a learned person. And this learned person, he asked, he has killed 100 people. Can Allah forgive him? Ya inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. There is not a sin that Allah does not forgive. So he taught him how to seek for forgiveness. So this is evidence that Allah forgives all sins, including the sin of killing. If a person kills a person, Allah will forgive. So if any person had been involved in another person's life going away out of his hand, be certain that Allah can forgive you. All you need to do is stop what you are doing, stop that evil, and regret it. Regret that you had done that evil in the past, and stop it. The first condition is al-ikhlas, and it's done. Avoiding the sin. The second condition, an-nadam, regret. Then the third one is to ask Allah for forgiveness. Allah, forgive me. And then from that is to increase in good deeds. The ulama say from the conditions of tawbah is, if a right of the person is in your hand, return his right to the owner of the right. Although people like Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, they say that if returning the right to the person will bring more problems to you, don't return it. Make sadaqah to it. And things like this. So, the point of reference in all of these is that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. The only sin Allah will not forgive if a person dies upon that sin, is the sin of what? Shirk. What about the person who did not die upon shirk? He will ask Allah for forgiveness. Ikhwa, all we need to do is to ask Allah for forgiveness. The one who did not ask for forgiveness, who dies as a Muslim, if Allah likes, he'll forgive. If Allah likes, he'll punish him. What about the one who asks for forgiveness? Do you think Allah will turn down the forgiveness? So if a person dies upon shirk, those are the people that will be in the hell forever. But if Allah refuses, if Allah does not forgive a Muslim who has some sins with him, and that Muslim dies upon that sin, and then Allah does not forgive him, he will punish him in the hell for as long as he wants, and when he likes, he will remove him from the hell. When he removes him from the hell, as is in the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari with al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih, these people are referred to as what? Jahannamiyun. Freed slaves from Jahannam. Jahannamiyun. Those people who are freed from Jahannam. So it means if you read a hadith wherein the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam that something leads to fire, it does not mean that it is kufur. It does not also mean that that person will live in the fire forever. I hope this point is clear. So don't declare a Muslim as a kafir. Kullu bid'atin fi an-nar is part of it. Understand it like that. If the bid'ah is a bid'ah that has to do with shirk and kufur, then that person will be in the hell forever. Like the bid'ah of rejecting qadar. Like the bid'ah of shirk itself, because shirk is bid'ah. Ma anzalallahu biha min sultan. That has to do with that. But if the bid'ah is not the bid'ah that has to do with a person going out of Islam, then it is not a kufur, because such persons will not end in hell forever. I hope this point is clear, inshallah. So the Imam said, وَلَا يُكَفَّرُونَ بِرُكُوبِ كَبِيرَةٍ وَلَا إِسْيَانٍ. Don't declare a Muslim بِرُكُوبِ كَبِيرَةٍ because he has committed a major sin. Wala isyan, or he committed any other kind of sin. Don't say because of that he has become a kafir. Wala nujibu li muhsinihim al-jinan. And muhsin, those who do good, the pious, righteous Muslims. La nujibu lahum al-jinana. We will not say every pious Muslim, this one, dole is al-jannah. Don't say that to anybody. Don't say a Muslim died, this Muslim that died. It is Al-Jannah Tarara. Don't say that. Because you are not the owner of Al-Jannah. That's why. The owner of Al-Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will admit whom he likes to Al-Jannah. Awala. Saniyan. Whether his deeds were accepted or not, you don't know. So why are you confirming what you don't know? So the Imam said, Rahimahullah, وَلَا نُوْجِبُ لِمُحْسِنِهِمِ الْجِنَانِ. We are not going to affirm al-jannah for those who are doing good. You see him making nawafil, you see him making this, or he even went and fought in a jihad that is valid. There are kinds of this in the sight of the, during the time of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. A person amongst the Muslims during the time of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he came to the messenger and said he is going to fight in jihad. So he went. The man fought until he died. For us, who is he? Shaheed. Go. What is he? Mataya. Is he not Mataya? Is he not Mataya? Turaf. Because we don't know the unseen. He fought and died in jihad. Any person who fights and dies in jihad that is valid, who is he? He's supposed to be a martyr. So when the information came to the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, who was he now? Because he could know what we don't know from revelation, alayhi salatu. That's why he said, Allahu a'lamu biman yuklamu fi sabilihi. Allah knows best the person who is killed in his circle. Maybe the person wants to fight in jihad so that you can see that he has power. Maybe he wants to fight in jihad so that people will be praising his family. And when he does that, he has destroyed the jihad that he has gone to fight, if the jihad is valid. What about when the jihad is not a valid jihad? And he thinks he's fighting jihad, and in that invalid jihad, he still wants to show that he has power. So when people say, they say, shaheed, shaheed, shaheed. So the ulama say, don't say somebody is shaheed. Except the person that Allah says so and so is shaheed. So and so is shaheed. Likewise, don't say so and so will enter al-Jannah. What you are going to say, for those whom the Messenger alayhi salam affirmed, who read it inshallah, those that the Prophet said, so and so will be in al-Jannah, so and so like Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, is Abu Bakr al-Siddiq fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah, Abdurrahman ibn Awf fil Jannah, he counted them 10 of them, and others like Bilal, radiallahu. He told us he was hearing the footsteps of Bilal in al-Jannah. That is Bishara for Bilal, glad tidings for Bilal, radiallahu anhu. And others amongst the companions, the black woman who used to sweep the Prophet's mosque, or the black woman who used to be affected by epilepsy. There was a woman during the time of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, she was a black woman. She used to be a freed slave. This woman had epilepsy. Whenever she had a fit, she would fall down and her clothes would go off her body. So she came to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Messenger of Allah, please beg Allah so that my cloth, so that my epilepsy goes away. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, which one will you choose? Will you choose al-Jannah and be patient with the epilepsy? She said, okay, I choose al-Jannah. But I don't want my clothes to be exposed again because my body gets exposed. So the woman lived like that with her epilepsy, even though when she had an epileptic fit, her clothes do not get exposed, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam begs Allah that her clothes should not be exposed. But she said she could live with the epilepsy so that she gets what? Al-Jannah. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he used to tell the companions, should I show you one of the women who will be in Al-Jannah? They say, where is this woman? The Prophet said she will be in Al-Jannah. Because the woman lived for some time after the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. If you go to the history of Islam, there were a lot of people like this, that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam gave them glad tidings of Al-Jannah apart from the ten. One of them again was Ukasha ibn Muhsan, our Muhsin. Ukasha radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking about 70,000 people who will enter Al-Jannah without hisab. They will not be asked, they will not account. The day of Qiyamah will just come, they will go to Al-Jannah. May Allah count us amongst them. Ukasha says, radiallahu anhu, Messenger of Allah, count me amongst them. May Allah count me. Say, yes, you are amongst them. This is evidence that Ukasha is from the people of Al-Jannah. And it is evidence that Ukasha is from the people of Iman. It was reported that one day he was going with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a battle. He did not have a knife, Ukasha. So the Prophet called him, Ya Ukasha alayhi salatu. Ukasha come. He came, say, where is your sword? We are going for a battle. He said, I don't have. So when I go, whatever my hand can do. Ukasha radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam got a tree. He pulled down the stem and broke the stem. He said, whose haza? Faqatil bihi. Take this and fight with it. He collected it from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is from the aspects of Iman. He didn't have anything at the beginning. And then he was given a stick from the branch of a tree. At least hold something. And he accepted from the Prophet Muhammad. Ukasha will enter Al-Jannah without hisab. Allahu Akbar. May Allah count us amongst them. Because hisab is trouble on the day of Qiyamah. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man husiba uziba. Man husiba uziba. Any person who is asked, oh yeah, come, make account. Why did you do this? Why did you do that? If he acts like this, he will be punished. May Allah protect us. So, لا نوجب لمحسنهم الجنان. We are not going to say for one Muslim that this one, dole, he will enter al-Jannah. Don't say that. You say, Insha'Allah. Because it is still under Allah's Mashi'a. And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, in his old Usul al-Sunnah, he gave it in a clearer expression. He said, rahimahullah, ولا نشهد على احد من اهل القبلة بعمل يعمله بجنة ولا نار لا نشهد على احد من اهل القبلة بعمل يعمله بجنة ولا نار. He says, لا نشهد على احد من اهل القبلة. We are not going to affirm for any person amongst the people of Tawheed. We will not affirm for that kind of a person. The amali ya'amaluhu, because of some work that he is doing, we are seeing it. فَنَشْهَدُ لَهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ وَلَا نَعْ. Whether the work is a good deed, then we will say, this one, and the jannah, straight. We will not do that. Or, we will say, oh, this one, he doesn't have a place except fire. We will not do that also. Because the one that has committed a sin, Allah can forgive. The one that you see doing good deeds, the good may not have been accepted in the first place. The good deeds may have been good deeds he was doing with riyah, show of ikhwan. May Allah protect us. So the Imam said, rahimahullah, narju lissalih. If we see a pious person that dies upon iman, narju lahu, we will be hopeful for him. We hope, inshallah. We hope, inshallah. This is the highest you can go. But to affirm that that is how it will be, you can't do that. He said, نَرْجُو لِلصَّالِحِ. We will hope for the pious person. وَنَخَافُ عَلَيْهِ. At the same time, we'll be fearing that maybe he has some good evil deeds that we don't know. Especially in this kind of environment where we are. We'll be afraid. Maybe you have something. Likewise, we'll be hopeful that, but what we know of him is good. نَرْجُو لِلصَّالِحِ وَنَخَافُ عَلَيْهِ. We'll be hopeful for the pious person. At the same time, we'll be afraid that Allah does not hold him responsible for his shortcomings. وَنَخَافُ عَلَى الْمُسِيءِ. As for the evil person committing sins, when he dies, نَخَافُ عَلَيْهِ. What will be preponderant in our mind is fear. How? This one? Except Allah forgives him. If we start talking that like that. Unless Allah forgives him. Otherwise, unless Allah forgives him. Otherwise, you must give that space because Allah can decide to forgive him. But we'll be afraid for him. So the two will be in our heart. For the pious person, the predominant one is what? Hope. Why we still have tinges of fear. But for the unrighteous person, the predominant thing is what? Fear. Why we still have what? Chances for hope. This is what the Imam said, rahimahullah. He says, وَنَخَافُ عَلَى الْمُسِيءِ الْمُذْنِبِ وَنَرْجُو لَهُ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ نَرْجُو لَهُ Allah can forgive him. A person walks in a river-based bank until he dies. Say, so maybe Allah will forgive. A person is committing zina and he was known for that till he died. Maybe Allah will forgive. Except if it was shirk. If a person dies upon shirk or upon kufr, there is no raja'a for him. All about him is khawf. Yeah. If a person dies upon kufr, we will be afraid that the punishment he will receive
When Nelson Mandela died, people were saying, don't say, it is only Allah alone that will judge, not regarding a Kafir. You say that regarding a Muslim that you were certain died upon Islam. When he has shortcomings that you know, you say, hey, well, he has shortcomings, but we hope that Allah will use his good deeds to overrun his shortcomings for a Muslim. But a Kafir who dies upon kufr, that is a sunnah you should do. The Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, he encouraged us that when the corpse of a Kafir is being taken away and we see it, we should say something. Ubashiruka bi jahannam. I give you information that what is waiting for you? Jahannam. You tell the corpse of a Kafir that. So when a Nelson Mandela dies, what should the Muslims have done? They should be telling the cop, Ubashiruka bi jahannam. One minister, former minister died recently, a woman. Some people were saying, she was nice. If a non-Muslim was nice without iman, the niceness will not be accepted by Allah. It's a waste. A person wants to get into the university without mathematics and English. He can enter, Adi. It is acceptable. What will make good deeds to be good deeds and acceptable before Allah is what? Iman. That's why it says, Wala amala illa bi imani. With ready. It says, La imana illa bi amalin. Wala amala illa bi imani. The meaning of la amala illa bi iman. No good deed is acceptable except with iman. If one Onida Mala comes to the masjid and prays on the day of Eid, and you Muslims say you change his name from Oni to anything, so Abdul Razak, on the day of Eid, but he's just with you, making sajda, that sajda is not acceptable until an yashhada an la ilaha illallah wa anna muhammadan rasulullah. If he believes it, not just saying it. We will explain this to him. When he accepts, if he makes sajda, that sajda will now be sajda. If he makes sadaqah, that sadaqah will be what? Sadaqah. If he fasts in the month of Ramadan, that fasting will be what? Fast. If he goes to Hajj, that Hajj will be what? Hajj. But without kalimat al-shahada, without iman, without Islam, there is no good deed. Aisha radiallahu anha reported a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Shortly before the Prophet was raised as a prophet, there was a man called Abdullah ibn Jud'an. Ibn Jud'an was a riffraff in the community. This hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. Ibn Jud'an was a riffraff. He takes all kinds of things. Alcohol, he smokes Indian hemp, he does anything that riffraff, never do well. Area boy. You know what they do? Ibn Jud'an does it. So one day he was inside the desert, smoking, relaxing, and all that. He saw something that was shining. You know, because their senses are usually incomplete. The riffraff, the area boys, they are usually having problems with their intelligence. So he was seeing something that was flashy to him. He thought it was a snake. Ibn Jud'an stood up and started doing what? He started running away. So later he stopped. I'm running away and I'm not seeing what is pursuing me. So he started coming gradually, so that he can see. You know, this is exactly how those people behave, area boy. You say, Omo, I know where to, I just say secret. But why is he picking the race? He didn't know. So he started coming gradually. What is that thing that is pursuing him? At the end of the day, he saw that it was not a snake. It was a treasure, gold, silver, diamonds. You know, in the past, people hide those things inside mountains. They hide treasures. So it was a treasure. So when he saw it, It's like you go out to somewhere and you find suddenly some money like 10 million British pounds. It is the biggest money in the world today. I think, yes, British pounds. It is stronger than the euro now. The euro now. I think it is 256 now. Around 256 or 262. It was 262 or something. But it's about a week or so ago, it was 256. Let's say 256. The euro is around 230 something. So if you find 10 million British pounds, how much is that in Naira? About 25 billion. How is that? Or 2.5 billion, eh? Around that, you cross, you become billionaire in Naira. So you start, your thinking will change immediately. If you are living in Okebale, you start thinking about, you may even be asking the governor, this house, this your governor's house, how much? I want to buy it. The person's thinking will change. Ibn Judan's thinking changed immediately. He started giving people. He started cooking food with pots. It was said that the pots that Ibn Judan used to cook with, they climbed ladders to get into them. Ibn Judan. And if you ask him for one thing, he will not give you. If you need camels, ask him for 10, 15, 20 camels. He will give you 10, 15, 20. Don't ask him for one. That is how Arabs were. That is what they consider as al-jud wal-karam. Al-jud, benevolence. And karam, being kind and noble. Arab can give you anything. So, Ibn Judan was spending the money for friends or for people like that. But he died upon kufr. So one day Aisha radiallahu anha said, O Messenger of Allah, what about Ibn Judan? All these good things he did. He feed people, he gave people money, he gave people, you know, he helped the poor and all these. What will Allah do to him? The Prophet said he will be in Jahannam. لِأَنَّهُ مَا آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ He never believed in Allah. So all those good deeds are waste. But Allah will reward it in this dunya. All his reward will be in this dunya. Maybe sound health. He will collect it as sound health. He will collect it from protection. Some people want to harm him. Allah will use the reward of his good deeds to protect him from harm. But on the day of Qiyamah, hum min al-khasirin. They are losers on the day of Qiyamah. So that is why the last thing a person must joke with is his iman. If a person loses iman, he has lost dunya and akhirah. It is better that a person loses dunya, keeps his iman, and gains akhirah, than that he gains this dunya, he loses his iman, and loses the year after. Many of the people today, politicians, rich people, and all of these, they sacrifice their akhirah because of dunya. They can kill anybody, they can do Allahu A'lam. We all know we are in the country together. May Allah protect us. So, la amala illa bi imanin wala imana illa bi amalin. So when Nelson Mandela died, why are you worried whether the man don't know whether he has good deeds? Which good deed? To who? La nukimu lahum yawm al-qiyamati wazna. There will be no weight. It is weighing is for Muslims because some will have good deeds and shameful deeds. But kuffar, no weight for them because all their deeds is what? One corner, evil. Because of their kufu. So la nukimu lahum yawm al-qiyamati wazna. Why are you worried whether one Dora was a Muslim, she was doing good deeds to who? Or one Nelson was doing something to who? They are useless. Or one Michael Jackson, people are saying, was he a Muslim? The correct thing was that the brother said he wants to perform in Britain and that would be his last performance before he goes to Qatar to accept Islam. So that performance, he was not able to perform it. He died before the performance while he was practicing for it. Why are you worrying whether Michael Jackson was a Muslim or not? He was never a Muslim. He said he will be a Muslim after the event. That will be his last event. Na'udzubillah. May Allah protect us. This is also a lesson. Don't postpone your good deeds. Don't say tomorrow, because the tomorrow may never come. He said after that, and he was practicing for the event, for the show in Britain. Those people who are watching him there, you will accept Islam? Like his sister said, and then his brother. The point of reference, ikhwa, back to our issue is, when a kafir dies, people should not start doubting whether Allah will punish that kafir or not. Don't do that. Kufar, kufar. There is no kafir today that can do as much as the father or the uncle of the Prophet did, Abu Talib. He loved the Prophet. He knew Islam was the best religion. The only thing is for him to pronounce it, but he never pronounced. Yet he'll be punished in the fire. So why are you talking about one Dora, one Nelson, one what? May Allah protect us. So the Imam said, Rahimahullah, وَلَا نُوْزِبُ لِمُحْسِنِهِمْ الْجِنَانِ. We must not affirm for a good person amongst the Muslims that certainly he will enter Al-Jannah. بعد من أوجب له النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. After those people that the Prophet has affirmed, we mentioned them, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Abu Ubaid, Ibn al-Jarrah, Zubair ibn Awam, Talha ibn Ubaidillah, and others amongst the companions, radiyallahu anhum, like Ukasha ibn Muhsam. I've not been hearing people naming their children Ukasha. Radiyallahu anhum. This one is Abu Ukasha, mashallah. Allahu Akbar. You Abu Ukasha? Mashallah. Allahu Akbar. It's a very big name amongst the names of the companions, Ukasha. So, after those people, we must not say or affirm that there are some people, this one, this Shehu Kinika, and the Jannah say, La, don't go beyond your bounds. Yes, you can say, well, inshallah, he was good, hopefully, you can say that. But to say, Dole, Dole, Al Jannah, you can say that. For any person. Likewise, وَلَا نَشْهَدْ عَلَى مُسِيئِهِمْ بِالنَّارِ. We cannot affirm that a Muslim was committing sins. This Muslim that was committing sins, know how it is fire. You must not say that to any Muslim. Just like you cannot say the other one must enter Al-Jannah. Likewise, a sinful Muslim, you cannot also affirm Jahannam for him. So this is the point that Al-Imam Al-Muzani has raised from the issues of Iman. The Muslims have different levels of Iman, and the level of Iman is dependent on their good deeds. It shows that we have to increase in our good deeds, and the fact that our good deeds are from the aspect of Iman. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us understand better than we try to explain. We beg Allah to make us from the people of Iman. The time that we shall leave this dunya, it's just one day, one time. May Allah make it be upon Iman. About 4 days ago, a brother was telling me that a brother was living with him. And that this brother, at the time of Salatul Asr, he was helping people to collect water in the kettles of Salatul Asr. He came into the masjid, he stood in the first row. They said, Allahu Akbar. He too said, Allahu Akbar, and he went down and died. So how is that? There are many incidences. A brother in Haram, we're returning from Hajj. The man was telling me that he's from South Africa, and that he came with his wife, and that the wife had died in Arafah. She just came, she was saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik at Arafah, and she died. He showed me all her documents. This is her passport, this is this, in the plane. So many things happen. Nobody knows when it will come. The time that our time shall come, may Allah make it be upon Iman.
Some people believe that if a Muslim dies, and after some time the body was discovered that it did not get decomposed, it is a sign of the person who will enter paradise. Is this correct?
It may be and it may not be. Because Allah may be preserving the body so that it will receive more punishment. It's not proof. It's not proof of anything, ikhwah. Allah can decide to leave the body also so that it can get enjoyment. So it does not prove anything. Allah has done what He wants. فَعَلُوا لِمَا يُرِيدُ. Did Allah not preserve Fir'aun? If He did not tell us in the Quran that He preserved Fir'aun, and we saw him, some people may be thinking that it is a good man. They may say it is one of Banu Israel that fell into the water. Allah preserved Fir'aun, and the preservation of Fir'aun was for punishment. Allah can also preserve him so that we can know that it is not everybody that Allah will allow the earth to eat. So that we can know that Allah can do it. So when the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لَا تَعْكُلْ أَجْسَادَ الْأَنْبِيَا, that the earth will not eat the body of the prophet and the messenger of Allah, we know that it is true because we are seeing people who are not even prophets, who are nothing, and they are not decomposing. So for so many reasons, Allah can, subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His wisdom, choose to leave the body. It doesn't do anything. What matters, ikhwa, is your action. What did you do before you died? That is the important thing, and this is the time you and I have to correct our action. Tafaddal.
Can we call the divine that died
in the world? Can we call the person who killed himself, like the companion we mentioned, who killed himself? You know, in that hadith, he killed people and he was injured in his stomach. So he thought, a homie, so he killed himself. The Prophet said he will be in the fire. The question of the brother is, can we call that kind of a person a companion? I say yes. If you call him a companion, and like we explained that he will be in hell, that the Prophet said, doesn't mean that he will be in the hell forever. It means he has committed a major sin. He has committed a major sin. And the punishment for that is the fire. That will make the rest of us to know that if somebody lived with the Prophet, fought with the Prophet, and then he ended like that, we too, we should be careful. May Allah protect us. So we can refer to those kind of people amongst the companions. Iza tawaja al-muslimani fakilahuma min ahlina. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام أنا ما أدري ما تريد ما تقصد تواجع ماذا تريد من كتبه ماذا تقصد بالحديث لعل غيرك يذكر من كتبه لعلنا نذكر إذا ذكرت المعنى باللغة الأخرى فنذكر المتن نعم Assalamu alaikum. How does one observe Taraweeh during Ramadan? Inshallah, our next class will be about issues of Ramadan. Is it after Imam that is better, or individually, or during the midnight? And we'll mention issues of Ramadan next week, inshallah. But have your answer. Because we say we should not delay good deeds. The best way to perform Taraweeh in Ramadan is behind the Imam. Because the hadith is authentic in Sunan Abi Dawood that he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, whoever prays the Taraweeh behind the Imam until the Imam finishes, Allah will reward him with the reward of somebody who prays throughout the night. So, but that does not mean that it is not allowed for a person to pray alone. It is allowed. An individual to perform Taraweeh alone in Ramadan, it is allowed. Many of the pious predecessors, especially those who were Hufaz of Quran, they were allowed, and they allowed people to perform Qiyamul Layl alone, Taraweeh alone. It is allowed. And that is the reason why if you are a Hafiz of Quran, don't make it that you want to compel the people in your masjid, dole, they must pray behind you and they must pray one juz'u every day. Don't do that to the people. Because the people, al-muslimuna fil imani yatafadalun wa bi salihil a'malihum mutazayidun. They may not be as strong as you are in your iman and in whatever. Yes, we'll encourage everybody to do good deeds, try to do more. But it doesn't mean that we will compel them upon what we are upon. One juzu bawa sawa, one juzu in qiyamul layl, for somebody who is not used to it, you bring difficulty to him. You make the people now begin to run away from the masjid. فَالْإِنْسِدَالْ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَخَيْرُ الْأُمُورِ أَوْسَطُهَا. The Messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the best of affairs are those of the middle course. So be of middle course. Yes, Hafiz is leading the Quran, is leading Qiyamul Layl, be middle course. When you read one page, it's enough. When you read one and a half page, it's enough. If you think people behind you can carry two pages, three pages, you do like that. Consider those behind you when you lead Salah. But when you pray on your own, if you like, read the entire Surah Al-Baqarah in one rak'ah, no problem. But when you lead the people, don't forget them. Because the Messenger said in an hadith in Sahih Bukhari, he said, because some people are behind you, they want to do another thing after that Salah. So don't compel them to be upon what you are. Alayhi kidal. Middle course in everything. It is not until you get the people tired and they start sitting down holding their backs. That does not mean then that you have done well. مَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. So it is allowed for the person to pray alone. It is better for him to pray in congregation with the imam in the masjid. I hope this point is clear, inshallah. We read from the books of Majlis al-Ulama of South Africa declaring Saudi rulers and scholars as kafirs because they commit sins. Is this correct? No, it is not correct. Although I have not read what the brother is referring to, but it's not correct. It's not only Saudi rulers and some of the people declare people like Hosni Mubarak as kuffar. Where do you see this kind of thing from? If you call the man, he will tell you, look, I'm Muslim. The one who was ruling Tunisia when the uprising came up in Tunisia, where did he run to? He ran to Iran, to Arab. When he got there, he went and made Umrah and went back to Jeddah. So when he made the Umrah, made Tawaf, made Sa'i between Safa and Marwa, he cut his hair, he went into Ihram. You come and tell me that Allah will not forgive him. Will you tell me that? Even if he were a mushrik, before he did that, will Allah not forgive him? So people should be careful about declaring people as non-Muslims, non-Muslims. It is common with young people, but usually the ulama say, when people are not well grounded in knowledge, they usually declare people easily as kafir, 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 because they commit particular sins. Allahu a'lam. Please, can we pray for a person that we are doubting his status as a Muslim? If you are doubting a person's status, something will be more preponderant in your mind. Maybe the most preponderant thing in your mind is that he's a Muslim, then you pray for him as a Muslim. Or the preponderant thing in your mind is that the person is a kafir, then you consider him a kafir. It is what the most preponderant thing from what you have seen, what is most likely. Somebody described her mother like that, and she was a Christian. She married their father according to her, but they knew that she was still going to church. But the father thought that she was a Muslim, and when she sees the father, she will behave like a Muslim to him. So when she died, the father treated her as a Muslim. But they, the children, they knew that she was not a Muslim. So I say, you deal with her as you know her. Let your father also be dealing with her as he knows her. Allahu a'lamu bihaliha. Allah knows best about her condition. Because it may be that she went to church and came back and prayed with the father, believing that she's following the religion of the father. Her condition may be difficult to this end. Allahu a'lam. We heard that bowing down to greet is shirk. Yes. Shirk in two forms. Don't misunderstand it. Some young brothers, especially from the areas of Kwara, misunderstand this issue of bowing down meaning shirk. Bowing down meaning shirk. Shirk has two forms. The shirk that takes somebody out of Islam, this is a shirkul akbar, and the shirk that does not take somebody out of Islam, but it's a sin, this is a shirk al-asghar. So bowing down can be shirkul akbar, it can also be shirkul asghar. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen that they quote, he has many comments about this matter. They just pick one of his comments and begin to quote it. In the same book that they quote, he has other comments regarding this matter. And in other of his books, in Al-Qawl al-Mufid, Sharh Kitab al-Tawheed, he explained it in details. He divided it into two. In the first volume of his Sharh on Riyad al-Salihin, where they saw this matter, I think they are reading this matter from second or third volume of Riyad al-Salihin, Sharh Riyad al-Salihin by Uthaymeen, that he said it's a shirk, but he did not explain. So you employ where he explained the shirk that he meant to understand the case where he did not explain the shirk that he meant. Do we understand? Where he explained the different forms of shirk that bowing can be. That is the one we will use to understand the one that he did not explain. He just said shirk. Did the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam not refer to riya, show off as shirk? He said it's a shirk. But al al-qawl al-jumhur, is it the shirk that takes a person out of Islam? No. Although it can also take a person out of Islam. So bowing down, being shirk, can be the shirk that takes a person out of Islam if the person bows down out of reverence and veneration for that person. But if it is out of mere greeting, that this is the way we greet, it is shirk. But it is not the aspect of shirk that takes an individual out of Islam. I hope this matter is clarified now. I'm coming. Please, how can I handle the case of my husband's family? They always quarrel and embarrass me anytime I greet them without bowing, and they will not stop until I bow. Your husband has to work on it. The husband has to protect the rights of his wife. Many husbands are weak now. They don't even talk to their parents about Islam. Many of us at home, what we hear here, we don't share it with our mother. We don't share it with our father. That look, this is Islam, this one is correct, this one is good. Pray like this. You want to be the only one inside Al-Jannah without your father and mother? It's not good. So, for the sake of Allah, we should also try to educate our parents at home. Brothers, educate your parents. Sisters, educate your parents. When a woman falls in a situation like this, it is usually a difficult battle for her to fight. Especially in communities like this. In Yoruba, strictly traditional communities, she will be in trouble. It is the husband that will fight to bail her out. For the sake of Allah, the husband should be firm. It is from the right she has over you that you must protect her in such circumstances. And from the aspect of the things that the husband must do apart from educating the family, is that he should also be praying for Allah to guide them. May Allah guide us all. In every aspect of da'wah, we should not leave out du'a. Because what you are doing is irshad. The actual tawfiq is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is... I don't know what the... Can you just read, doctor? A brother was raising his hand. Now, listen now. You were told by somebody that what? Her father does what? In her dream. That they should do sadaqah. She's asking whether it is permissible. It is possible for us to have dreams that come true. No one denies a dream except the one who is not conversant with the Quran. There's a surah that's entirely based on dreams. Surah Yusuf. The entire surah is based on what? The dream of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam.
And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
after Subhi or after Asr, he was always asking the companions, who amongst you had a dream? Let him tell us so that we interpret the dream. We are not doing this again now. It's from the Sunnah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will sit down after Asr, say, anybody who has a dream, tell me, I will tell you the meaning. That's why the ulama, for one of the things they do and learn, is they learn how to interpret dreams. You learn it as you learn wudu and salam. And there are books on it, as you have books on wudu and salam. The only thing is that we've not been paying attention to all these things, and they have been affecting the Islam of a lot of people. The question is, can a dead person communicate with a person that is alive? The ulama have two views. Some say yes, they can communicate. People like Sheikh al-Islam ibn Athani, ibn Qayyim, al-Jawziyah, and others. And some others say the dead and the living cannot communicate. Some say they can communicate. If a person has a dead parent, apart from that, you saw him in his dream and all of this, knowing his condition. The ulama say most of the time when you see somebody who is dead in your dream, in a particular condition, that is the condition that person is. It is from the qawaid of interpreting dreams. So, if a person sees his father in a dream in a difficult situation, you should know that he's in a difficult situation. If you see the person in a good situation, you should know that most probably he's in a good situation. If the person now says, do so, so and so for me, can you do that? If it is a good deed that the Sharia establishes, you may do it as part of your dream, if the deed does not contradict the Sharia. A child sees the father and the father says, do sadaqah, or perform hajj on my behalf, perform umrah on my behalf. Maybe that parent actually needs the reward of a hajj or an umrah to be forgiven from a difficult condition that he is. But if what they say to you is that, go on top of my graveyard and slaughter a ram on the grave. No, don't do that. That is shirk. Perhaps shaitan came in the future of that father to deceive that child. This one is very common. So how will you know whether it is something that you can do or not? If that thing is established in the Sharia, you know it is something you can do. But if the thing is not established in the Sharia, it is something that must be avoided. I hope this matter is clear. As for, can dead people see living persons? Allahu Alam, the most correct thing to me, based on my view of the matter, if you read the books of the scholars, like Abwa'ul Bayan fi Idhah al-Qur'an bil-Qur'an by al-Imam al-Shinkiti, he discussed it at length when he was discussing the verse, إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى وَمَا تُسْمِعُ ثُمَّ الدُّعَاءَ إِذَا وَلَّوْ مُدْبِرِينَ. He discussed this matter extensively. Likewise, if you read Al-Ayat Al-Bayyinat by Al-Imam Al-Alusi, who wrote Tafsir with the Tahqiq of Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, you will also see a very extensive discussion. Fortunately, the two books are having different opinions. So you'll be able to know where to stand. But it appears, Allahu A'lam, that those who say that the dead cannot communicate with the living have a stronger view because of some verses of the Quran, one in Surah Al-Rum, one in, I think, Sabah or Fatir, and others. And then the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. So it appears that those who are alive, we cannot talk to the dead. And the dead person cannot also talk to us. So, but when you see that in a dream, perhaps some features, something happen in the dream, Allahu A'lam.
But the basic ruling about doing something or not doing something is that if that thing they say you should do is something that contradicts Islam, you do not justify it by saying that my father wants this to be done. Similarly, when people write wills, Yoruba, they say, oh, sister, so tell them that he should be buried inside his house, for example. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam has prohibited us from burying our dead corpses inside the house. Are you going to follow what your father said and bury him inside the house? You must not follow him. You go and bury him in the burial ground. Because now, ta'atan il makhluk, imasiyat il khali. I think this point is clear. In Yoruba land, it is very common. Likewise, people don't like their children to inherit their houses. A man will build a house. When he dies, the children will not divide the house. In the north, you can even sell the house and divide the money as appropriate. Yorubas don't like it. They will say, Orisun Baba. Who told you Orisun Baba? Inna al-arda kulluha lillah. The earth belongs to Allah, not to anybody. So this is the reason why Yorubas, they don't like to distribute inheritance. And when they inherit, they don't like to distribute the house. If they distribute the houses, there will be one or two they will leave. They will say, this one is for our papa. Who told you that? The rulings have gone. Once he dies, Allah has the rulings on who takes what. And they must be taken. So, what a dead person says before he dies, or what we see of him that he wants us to do when he has died in our dreams, they are all controlled by the Quran and the Sunnah. When those things contradict the Quran and the Sunnah, we leave them. But when they don't contradict the Quran and the Sunnah, if we have the ability to do them, we do them to the best of our ability. وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ The hadith of Abu Huraira in Bukhari and Muslim. The person says, explain this kind of fire. We had explained it. Nar does not necessarily mean that the person will end up forever in Jahannam. How many are the prophets? 124,313. There are three questions here, we make them the last. Bismillah. Alaykum salam. Fasting on Saturday, next week, inshallah. Issues of fasting next week. Alaykum salam. The messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, when we dream and the dream is not comfortable with us, we should not tell the people. It means when he says, who has dreamt something, come let me explain to you, he is not including that dream that you don't like. He is talking about dreams that you can't say they are good or bad. Or the dreams that are good. But those ones that you can categorically say that they are bad, if it's not part of what he is telling you, come and tell me so that I explain to you. I hope this matter is clear, inshallah. He told us what to do when we have nightmares. We should say it's the other to the left and give a small spittle to the left. As we say, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajim. We blow like that three times. But there was a case with Abdullah ibn Umar, the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari also. One day he wanted to sleep. He said, oh Allah, let me know who I am to you. Let me know my level before you. Abdullah ibn Umar. So when he slept, he dreamt that he was in the fire. And at each time he tried to come up, he goes back. The hadith is in Bukhari. He was scared. Hey, fire! He quickly ran to Hafsa, his sister, who is the wife of the messenger, and he said, call your husband. So So when the Prophet heard it, alayhi salatu wasalam, he now interpreted it to mean that he was a pious person and that he will be in Al-Jannah. But for his level to rise in Al-Jannah or thereabouts, he needs to increase in Qiyamul Layl. Ibn Umar said, from that night, Qiyamul Layl will not miss him. Abdullah ibn Umar. What I want to infer is that you see that that dream is worrisome. Yes, he still told it to the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. So even there are some that we may think, because it is from one of the qawaid also of dreams. When you dream a dream to be negative, maybe you want to travel, you want to marry a woman, you want to get into a house, you want to buy a car, you want to do something, you dream evil of that thing. Ulama say it is the opposite of that thing that will happen. It is one of the qawaid of dreams. There are some basic rulings about understanding and interpreting dreams. I'm just trying to say sometimes it is not even all the dreams we consider as bad that are actually bad. They may be good coming to us in the pictures or forms of evil. They may be evil coming in the features of good. There are many examples. Like a person sees himself drinking alcohol during his dream. It's a sign of sin. And when he sees himself drinking milk in his dream, it's from the symbols of wisdom. When you see yourself having private conjugal relations with your relatives, it is indicating that you are a chaste person. It is indicating that you are chaste. But look at it. A woman had done that before the Ustaz. Hey, I'm dreaming bad things. What is it? I'm dreaming that myself and my father will say, that is the meaning that you are a chaste person. Like that, there are qawaid, ikhwa. Or you see somebody harassing your family, your wife. You know that that person is speaking evil of you behind you. There are issues like this. If we learn them, we'll know them. The scholars have written books. Dr. Khalid Al-Ambari has a book on it. Sheikh Mashur Hassan Al-Salmani has a huge book on it. And Imam Nablusi has a book on it. Many scholars have. And many of these books are available. If we learn them, inshallah, it will be beneficial to us. In the books of hadith, there are books on ahlam, dreams. Somebody even compiled all the dreams of the Prophet Muhammad and the meanings of those dreams. So sometimes the dream itself that we consider evil may be good, and what we even consider good may be negative. Allahu alam. But I think the hadith more talks about nightmares. When you have a nightmare, for example, you dreamt that your head was cut off in your dream. A companion came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said that he dreamt that his head was cut off and the head was rolling on the ground and the body without the head was following the head. My head, yo, my head, my head. When it was told to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this hadith is also in Sahih Bukhari, he said, when shaitan plays with you, don't come and tell us. When shaitan plays with you, don't tell us. It means Shaitan was the one playing with him. So dreams are sometimes very funny. So his head was running. How can a head, a neck without a head run? You know, a dream is funny. A head with the body without head. The head is running like a football. And the body is following the head. It's really Shaitan playing with the person. May Allah protect us. We read these three questions. The time is far spent, my brothers. Okay, we'll give you numbers, but we'll make it hasty. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, subhanAllah, 8, 9. 9. Please, quick, pump. 1. Can one
Look in the Mus'haf next week, inshallah. It is connected to Ramadan. Some scholars say it is allowed, some say it is not allowed. But it appears that those who say that it is not allowed have greater evidence. Do you get this point? You are making Qiyamul Layl and you are reading from your Mus'haf. There are narrations from the early Muslims that it is correct. The hadith of Aisha, the hadith of Al-Imam al-Zuhri and others, they indicate that it is correct. But there are other narrations, Al-Imam al-Hasan al-Basri and others, it indicates that it is wrong. One of the scholars gave five other reasons why what is most correct is that we do not look through the Mus'haf. And that is Sheikh Mashhur Hassan Ali Salman. That opinion appears very strong, inshallah. Everybody, فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. It's one of the things he gave. He said in the verses regarding Qiyamul Layl. And yet Allah is saying, فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْهُ. Read what is easy for you. How do you read what is easy for you when you are looking through the Mus'haf? And then that it contradicts the basic rulings on Salah. When you are on Salah, you are supposed to be looking on the ground. But in that case, where will you be looking at? Mus'haf. Then he said, it is like tashabbuh bil kuffar. He said, because kuffar, when they worship, you know the Catholics and the Anglicans, they look through their hymns. He said, so, but we have not been committed to do that in our religion. Number four, it discourages people from memorizing the Quran. Instead of paying attention to memorizing, they say, why do I have to memorize the Quran? Mus'haf is here, I will look at it. So for those reasons, he said, rahimahullah, if you have his book, Al-Ishraf ala Nukati Masail al-Khilaf by Qadi Abdul Wahhab al-Baghdadi. He mentioned it, Sheikh Mashhur mentioned it in his tahqiq of this book. And he gave those reasons. Allahu A'lam. Number two, I'm avoiding to postpone the answer. Number two, alaykum salam. Somebody forgets his dream, it doesn't matter. Doesn't have any implication when you forget your dream. It doesn't have any... If Allah gives us time, some of that time with dreams. They were things that the early Muslims took very seriously. Because it affects people's being a lot. If Allah gives us the opportunity, we mention some of these issues, inshallah. Number three. Alaykum salam. It troubled what? Mind. Its mind is not stable. Its salat is valid. It does not need to repeat the salat. You are performing salat behind the imam and your mind is going to and fro. Will you perform the salat? No. You not repeat the salat. You continue the salat, you don't have to repeat it. Now, you say what? To be troubled that Allah will not accept your salat. It's from waswas of shaitan. If this thing comes to you when you are praying, say a'udhu billah, speak to your left hand in your salah. Shaitan will run away. The hadith is authentic. Number four. Alaykum salam. What is the ruling on protest? It is not allowed for Muslims to protest against constituted authority. There's a whole, an entire book on this. The ulama even say it is from ijma. And the ahadith on it are mutawatir. Those ahadiths have been reported by more than 20 companions that it is not allowed for a Muslim to protest against constituted authority. Number five or six. Alaykum salam. Don't worry, let him ask. I've heard his questions now. We come back, there's a question on that here. The brother is asking that when we make dua, should we rub our hands on our faces? We say no. The ulama say the people who pray and rub their hands on their faces are juhal. The prophet never did it, alayhi salam. And for what I do about you, the prophet never did it. And the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was the one who taught us that when we make the dua we should raise our hands. Was he not? If it were part of it that we should rub our face, would he not have told us? Why he didn't tell us? Why are we doing it? That's why the ulama said nobody does it except a stupid, ignorant person. The ulama said it. May Allah protect us. Some people will not stop at that. They will rub it to the entire body. When the Prophet wanted us to do that, he told us, in the night when we want to sleep, when we recite Al-Mu'awizat, he told us to rub all parts of our body, is it not?
Yes.
So if we are allowed to do that in daily dua, if we should rub our face, he will tell us. That he did not tell us is evidence that we should not do it. When we needed to do it, he told us. So when we did not need to do it, he left us. So leave yourself. Don't do it. It means if we want to make dua now, you make dua, you rub your face, there's a way we will look at you. May Allah protect us. Number six, two? Or seven? Did I count you? Seven? Okay, this is last. He was having shortcomings. What does that mean? Shortcomings, frailties. Okay. Shortcomings does not mean sin. So when those, the meaning I think shortcomings in the circumstance of the brother's question is, he was finding things difficult with life. They also refer to that as what? Shortcomings. He wants to buy a car. His friends have bought cars. He has not bought. His friends have built houses. He has not built. People consider this as shortcomings. But when they are sinning, making backbiting, unable to perform salah in jama'ah, dragging their isbah, removing their lihya, they don't consider it as shortcomings. And these are the actual shortcomings. So if a person goes to an afar and the afar says, go and slaughter a ram, you are most likely slaughtering a ram of shirk. Don't slaughter, don't go to them in the first place. The Prophet prohibited us from going to them, alayhi salatu wa salam. Don't go to those alufa in the name of afa. Most of them are alufa. Alufa, not afa. And not alufa. So don't go to them. They will mislead you. May Allah protect us. If you have difficulties with things of life, I will give you two nankalis that you'll be performing. The Prophet gave us two, alayhi salatu wa salam. One of them is regularly say, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minaz zalimin. Say it always. The difficulties you have will go, they will lessen and wane away. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minaz zalimin. La ilaha illa anta. Don't ask me afa. What is the adadi? There is no adadi. God is saying it. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. The Prophet said it, the hadith is authentic in Sunan Abi Dawud. He said, when you say it regarding a thing, Allah will give you that thing. Alayhi salatu wasalam. The second one, be making salat on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Wa barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك عميد مجيد. The messenger said to Ubayy ibn Ka'b رضي الله عنه that if the person says it, Allah will give you your needs and he will protect you. What do we need in life? Your needs, Allah will give you. And then he will protect you. So say salat and salam on the messenger. Don't go to Alufa. May Allah protect us. The last brother. Go. And you,
We'll postpone this question to the next week, inshallah. Now, the three of you. What advice can we give to name changing for women? The basic rule is that they should not change their name because you are marrying to Brother Abdurazak. If you marry Brother Abdurazak and trouble breaks out tomorrow, you change your name again. May Allah protect us. If the husband does, if there is no separation, may Allah protect our marriages for us. The husband may die. These things have been happening. So how then do you change again? So the basic ruling is that everybody should bear his father's name. But if they have to, if they have to do it, because in some countries perhaps they want to travel, they want to do this, there are other things they can do without changing the name. There are marriage certificates that will indicate that they are married, and it does not have to do with changing names. So, but when in situations that we may not know, but they find that they cannot do without, they just have to change the name, like that, let the woman not bear the name of the brother's father. If the brother is Abdullah Abdurazak, the brother's father's name is Abdurazak, that woman, if her name is Rashida, she should not bear Rashida Abdurazak, la. Because you are connecting that woman to your own father. As if your father is her father, and your father is not her father. Is he his father, her father? Why are you connecting her to him? The connection is to you. So if she must bear a name that is connected to yours, your own name is Abdullah ibn Abdurazak, the woman should bear Rashida Abdullah, indicating that Rashida, the wife of Abdullah, if you insist that Mrs. means the wife of. So it should be Mrs. Abdullah, not Mrs. Abdurazak. She's not the wife of your father. She's your own wife. So she should be Mrs. Abdullah ibn Abdurazak. She's not Mrs. Abdurazak. Let's think about these things properly, we'll see. Don't connect the woman to your father. Your father is not her father. Let her bear the name of her father. This is the basic ruling. But in situations where there is nothing we can do, we can't avoid, we can't, all the grammars we speak, even if you have to change the name, let it be like this. Allahu A'lam. Alaykum As-salam. Now, pick up, I didn't even hear the beginning. Now. The brother is asking that what the kind of what happened between Yusuf alayhi salam and the parents happened between a brother and his relatives too. What should the brother do to the relatives? It's simple. What Yusuf did to his family, he too should do it. Yusuf did not take revenge, and he had the chance to revenge. If Yusuf revenge on that day, nothing will happen. وَإِنْ تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَهُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. So we should do what Yusuf did too. إِرُنْ تِيُوسُفُ شَيَنَانِ أَنْ يَنَوْ شَكَلُوا عَوَ يَدِيَهِ. Now I'm the last brother, inshallah. I need no answer. كماذا كالراديو أو كالميكروفون مثلا مع ماذا وضوئي الجو واضح ما ذلك نعم الوسائل كثيرة فإذا حددت يكون أيسر لي أن أجيب. مثلا ميكروفون الآن من الوسائل. أيوة لمعرفة أوقات الصلاة أجازه العلماء منهم شيخ محمد بن صالح الوسيمي. أنا أصريح أسندت القول إلى قائل أصريح. Is asking, is it allowed to use modern equipment to know the times for salah like you have on your phone and the like? I said, one of the scholars said that it is allowed. Because the tajriba, by practice, you see that the times are correct. You see that what the computer or software or whatever tells us is correct. So we don't have any reason to doubt it, and it can be proven. What they did can be proven. And Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Husayn say, whatever can be proven should not be denied. Whatever can be proven, don't deny it. So you have to, inshallah. أمين وأنتم فجزاكم الله خيرا. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. عليكم السلام.